Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for braving the early morning hour, and hopefully I can keep you awake. I hope I can keep myself awake. But I appreciate your participation in the Beltwide Conference, and I'd like, first of all, to thank my co-authors on this, my team members at Lummis who help with these things. Every year we try to look at different aspects of our product line and how it's performing in the industry, and we get feedback from customers, good and bad. We are continually trying to make improvements. And so this is a situation, and I've got the, I just see that didn't change the year on the presentation, but that's what happens when you put an Aggie in charge or something. But this year we looked at a couple of different things in our product line. We revisited Central Rolling Plains in Roscoe, Texas, an installation that has, it's a five-stand installation, and what we wanted to do, we just, in essence, we popped in, you know, at a certain point when the gen saws, we wanted to evaluate what kind of seed cleaning and performance our 203 gen was in the line. They've got four Cherokee Avenger gens and 174 saw gens. And correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, are those, some of those have been converted to 193s? They've all been converted to 193s. And so we wanted to collect seed and analyze that. Unfortunately, for some reason, the USDA Gen Labs didn't want to work over Christmas to do my data. And I can't understand that, student workers want to be home with their families. But I'm still waiting on that information to get back, but we will have that hopefully for the published paper. Did like the what I was seeing in the condition of the seed. We also took samples. Each of the stands had about 1,000 bales per gin stand on the saws. So we felt that we had a pretty good break-in period. They weren't just absolutely brand new saws, but they were far from being dull. We're seeing much better life on them. They all had Lummis saws on them. And so this shows the installation. The 203 is in the number five line. The Cherokees are in lines one through four. And we simultaneously sampled out of four rounds, which equates to one module. They were stripper harvested, burr extracted cotton. We took samples, double bagged, for incoming and final moisture content because we wanted to see how the pre-cleaning and drying was conditioning the cotton at the feeder apron and to see what kind of incoming trash was coming in with the cotton. And we took three, typically I'll show the sampling points. We only took the incoming and final seed cotton conditions, and then we took the gin seed, and then we did we're performing residual. I'm waiting on the results of the residual lint analysis on the seed right now. But you'll see in, I guess it's, there we go. We've had the seed cotton at the module feeder and at the feeder apron, double bagged, and we're going to get fractionation tests done on and that by the Lubbock Gen Lab. And then, of course, we took samples for the actual gin seed, both for foreign matter content and for seed damage and residual lint. But I want to thank also Larry Black at Central Rolling Plains. He's been very cooperative with us over the years in our sampling. As I said, we're getting those done at the Lubbock, going to be getting those done at the Lubbock Gen Lab. The residual lint analysis on the cotton seed, I've sent those samples off to Memphis, and they're being processed as we speak, and we'll tabulate the data. So we've got, the results are still pending. You'll have to wait with bated breath for the published paper. I know you'll all need some good insomnia cure to read that. But the next aspect of performance, you know, we look at lint cleaning, we look at pre-cleaning, we look at drying. You know, a lot of things in the gin affect efficiency. And one of the major areas in the gin that affects efficiency and productivity is the baling press. Most gins have one baling press, so it's one of those one-ofs in the gin that it's got to be running, it's got to be effective, it's got to be reliable. And over the years, over the past, since the early 1990s, you know, we've tried to analyze and find means by which we can augment the press capacities. Gens get bigger, gens get faster, everybody wants faster, faster, faster. And so we've had to look, and a lot of it has come as a result of technology. The electronics technology, PLCs, have greatly improved the ability to utilize technology to make us more efficient. And so we're going to talk about three of our different press lines, what we call our standard lift box doorless press, downpacking press, the high capacity and ultra high capacity lift box presses, and then the uppacking premier doorless press. And I'm going to touch on, as a part of the premier doorless, what we call the HSVS, or high speed variable stroke tramper pusher system that we utilize for very high capacities. And we've also, both as a retrofit and as standard equipment on some of the higher capacity presses, have what we call the UHS, or ultra high speed power turning, both for the lift box and for the premier press. One thing is to define press cycle time. You know, for those of you who aren't as familiar with it, that is basically from the time you get a buzzer that a bale is ready to be made till the time that the press can start another baling cycle. In the case of an uppacking press, from buzzer to bottom ram down and the press can turn. For a downpacking press, it's from buzzer till the top ram is up and the box has been set down and the press can turn again. And that time, you divide that cycle time in seconds into 3,600, and that basically gives you your bales per hour capability of the press. As you can see in the third item, the strapping cycle plays a major role in that. And when we rate our presses as far as what we say a rated capacity is, it's with a typical strapping time not to exceed 15 seconds. And the strapping cycle time, as it's defined, is from the time in the case of an uppacking press to that ram reaches all up, go. The strapping cycle goes, typically with plastic, you have to let the seal cool, then you tension the ties, and then the bale kicks out. That is the strapping time, not just how long it takes to connect that strap. That can be misleading, because until that bale can get kicked out of the press, you can't do anything with the rest of the press cycle time. And the fourth point, lint bat conditioning and compression, whether it's an MC condenser, a steamroller, some type of moisture restoration, can always help in your press cycle time. When you compress that bat, make it behave itself better feeding into the press, you get a much more efficient, you get a more effective lint slide length. And this last one is one of the simplest points. We talk about it in the gen school every year. When a gen goes in and puts in a new press and wants to leave their battery condenser in the same location, that may or may not be feasible because the angle at which that lint slide is mounted and the physical length of that lint slide is going to affect how that bat of cotton feeds into the press. And so we have seen conditions where we've literally seen customers put in a lint drop and we look at it and go, you're going to have problems with that. It's not going to work. Well, I don't want to put a doghouse on. I don't want to move the condenser back. And then during the season, they have to come back and as we say, relick the calf and fix the lint slide problem. So it's being oftentimes penny wise and pound foolish when you compromise that lint slide angle. You know, typically the lint slide angle is anywhere from 36 to 44, 45 degrees at a max. In the case of a Lummus lint slide, we'll have a 50-degree section going into the lint feeder, and then it rocks back to a 36-degree. And, of course, the lint slide length is a function of your bales per hour, the longer lint slides utilized in very high bales per hour. Well, when we talk about the standard lift box doorless press, that was originally introduced in the late 1980s. With a single, what we call the H120 pump unit, it was about a mid-20 bale per hour press. And then with dual H120s, it would achieve anywhere, depending on strapping, anywhere from 35 to 40 bales per hour. Over the past 5 or 6 years, a lot of third parties and we got on board with this and started doing some of the program mods and tweaking and optimization of the flows. And we've been able to get, with dual H120 units, we can now get in excess of 50 bales per hour with those standard lift box presses. And of course, codicil at the bottom, the cycle time is contingent on the type of strapping. Faster strapper, faster press. Here you'll see a standard lift box doorless press. Kent, that's a blast from the past. You'll recognize that. Probably have post-traumatic press disorder from that. But then at the right, you'll see the dual H120 pump units. These are identical pump units, and this would be a 35 to 40 bale per hour configuration that we now can get about 50 bales per hour. The late 90s, we came up with what we call the high-capacity lift box doorless press, had an all-in-one pumping unit, and out of the box, it was rated at 45 bales per hour. In fact, our generic term was a 45 bale an hour lift box. Well, we also were able to optimize the flow and do some program tweaking, and so we can get in the 50 to 52, sometimes as high as 55 bales per hour with the standard out-of-the-box press. We've redesigned the all-in-one high-capacity lift box pump unit to remove the gearboxes, and so we've increased the horsepower slightly, and so that is a solid 50 to 55 bale per hour press out of the box now. And with the different types of strapping system, we have one of these with the original pump unit that is using the latest Signo GenFast system that has achieved at times on a regular basis 60 to 65 bales an hour, and at times has cycled at 70 bales an hour. And that is at PPF Gen in Cooper, Texas. Here you'll see the high-capacity lift box. It has a few more bells and whistles and everything. This is your all-in-one unit where you have your main pressing side on one side and your tramper pusher controls on the other side on a common reservoir. A lot less footprint, a lot more efficient operation. Now, in this past year, we have introduced what we call the ultra-high capacity lift box, and we were looking at this being at least a 60 bale an hour downpacking press. The base unit, as we talked about with the high-capacity lift box, is 50 to 52 bales per hour. With an extra 75-horsepower booster skid, we're getting in excess of 60 bales an hour. Depending on the strapping, we will certainly see the opportunity to go as much as 70 bales per hour. But with any of the conventional plastic strapping systems, we can get consistent 60 bale an hour. We talked about the ultra-high-speed power turning. The lift box, because of its short boxes, lighter weight, we can turn that in between 5 and 6 seconds. In the case of an up-packing Premier Press, the heavier boxes, we turn it in about 7 seconds. But the ultra-high-speed turning is something, when you're getting up in the 55, 60, 65 bales per hour, a second doesn't seem like much, but it can make a lot of difference. You know, we've got one press that is cycling in excess of 100 bales an hour up in Seminole, Texas, and that's it consistently, 37, 36 seconds. And so that there's ways to do it. It's somewhat unconventional, but there are ways to do it. Here's a picture. This is actually the press at PPF with the GenFast, the high-capacity lift box. Some of the things we did to optimize that is we have the hydraulic unit is mounted up on the press platform, and this is the press that has cycled anywhere from 60 to 70 bales per hour. It was installed in 2015. The Premier is basically the third generation of the up-packing doorless press. You have the Gen doorless press from the early 70s, the EE doorless press from the mid-1980s, and then the Premier doorless in the early to mid-1990s. But our base unit is a 45 bale an hour. Unit has 225 horsepower motors. The additional booster skids for 125 each of those booster units will get 60 and then 67 bales per hour respectively. With the ultra high speed power turning now, we can really touch 70 bales an hour on a consistent basis. And we've got the souped up version. We have one at United Cotton Growers in Levelland, Texas, Paul Wilson's gen, with the HSVS tramping system, and it's cycling at 75 bales per hour, and it has all the bells and whistles on it. And so we do not have one of those running with a GenFast, but the Signode tying system supports that 75 bales per hour very consistently. Here you'll see the two different models of, this is the what we call the conventional Premier press. It's equipped with a Samuel strapper at this installation. This is Kent Fountain's gen at Southeastern Gen, and here's the HSVS. The high-speed variable stroke system, if you're not familiar with it, is similar to a concept called equivalent full-stroke tramping, and what it does is it goes deep into the press box and works its way out of the press as it tramps. It learns from the previous bale what the bale weight was and where the tramper cylinder was in the cycle. And so the way the lint feeder feeds, it's not a belt-type feeder, but it's a dual drum feeder, and based on the feedback from the previous bale, it will then meter in the final charge as you can get close, and so we can get very accurate, typically plus or minus 10-pound bale weights, even though we're operating at very high capacities. And that's a feature that was originally developed on the Savannah-class press, and we've taken that technology and offer it both in the new equipment and as a retrofit. But that is something that has evolved, and with the technology, that's a perfect example of being able to apply the technology and improve things. You want? Okay. Here you see a couple of different views of the premier unit, the two main pump size, and then your 60 and 67 bale per hour, 125, your tramper, your pusher, and your filtration unit. I'm going to touch briefly in conclusion. We had great presentations yesterday about contamination, and it's something we're certainly interested in at Lummis. I took a trip to South Georgia a few weeks ago and looked at, this was at the Southern Gin in Pelham, Georgia, and observed some things, Barry Strickland had specifically called asking, you know, our feeling on contamination. Well, you can see torn covers, torn edges, and, of course, the unwrapping system, they use these elastic bands to hold the wrap until such time as they get in with the sideboards, and then they can pull the wrap off and let the module fall out against the sideboards. But, obviously, as you cut that plastic, you've got opportunities. They've had issues with contamination. They're extremely vigilant, which is what they need to be, what everybody needs to be, because, as we said, if you can keep it from getting in the gin, that's the biggest challenge. This is a piece off the module feeder disperser cylinder. You can see the small pieces. You can see it in relation to a regular ballpoint pen, how small some of the pieces. This is something that is happening. They had four strips that looked almost identical. And there's a part about the maintenance of the round harvesters that as these things are getting older now, we're finding other aspects about. And John Deere, I know, is coming up with more improved maintenance recommendations as we find different things that wear over time. The more bales, we're going to have to deal with the contamination and figure it out. Obviously, we want to eliminate it before it gets to the gin. That's not going to be 100% effective. We want to detect it, though, if we can, early in the gin process. But the high throughputs and the variety of the different types of unloading are the biggest challenges we face. It's not an insurmountable challenge, but it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all solution. But do understand that we have a keen interest in the research that's going on with the gin labs in conjunction with the universities and everything that to hope we can cooperatively find a solution and deal with the contamination issue. Once again, I want to thank the gins that participated in this, and once again, thank you very much for your attention. And with that, I'll conclude.